Welcome back to Moments with Marianne. I am so delighted to be introducing our next guest, Gabriela Gulimonte-Trivel, and she's here today to talk to us about her new book, Antarctic Odyssey. Now, Gabriela is an Italian linguist who started working in Italy as a tour guide and interpreter and then moved to the UK in 1998. Now, Gabriela is trained in NLP and investigated several alternative therapies, including Reiki, Orosoma, aromatherapy, hypnotherapy, and the work of Byron Katie, which all gave her a better and holistic understanding of the human being that we are. So let's welcome to the show Gabriela.
Thank you, Marianne. Thank you so much for having me on your radio show. I'm so really excited about it.
Oh, well, what a joy it is to have you here. I mean, so you've done what a lot of people haven't. I mean, you've kind of gone to places that takes a lot of courage. But before we get into your journey, I have to ask you, what prompted you to start on this path?
Good question. We should maybe first state or decide when the path starts, because actually it's something I wrote about in the book, meaning, but where does it actually start? Because if you think, oh yes, my journey started when that happened at that age, blah, blah. But then if you look into it long enough, then 2 minutes maybe, you'll see that there is another event that happened before that is as equally as important. So it's a bit difficult to answer by, maybe we should state first what was the most recent path. I went through a kind of real life crisis between 2005 and 2007. And during that time, lots of things that I took for granted or I considered normal life disappeared. And so I find myself a bit like kind of when they pull a rug below your feet, you feel a bit wobbly.
Yeah.
So I felt for a while. And that kind of helped me to review and re-see, look at it, my life again. And so if we look at that, consider that period as the trigger of me then eventually going to Antarctica, that could be my answer.
Well, and I think a lot of people, they can relate, because sometimes it does take a life-altering situation for us to really look at things and decide to make, you know, like drastic changes. And sometimes that involves being able to do something that we probably would not normally do, but maybe we've always wanted to do. Now, was your Antarctic trip always something that was kind of calling to you, or was it something that just kind of came up as, you know, part of your journey as well?
Well, funnily enough, yes, I have the travel bug, and possibly will always have that. Mm-hmm. As leave, but I never considered to go to Antarctica. It wasn't on my bucket list or dream list or goal list or whatever you might prefer to call it, simply because I like warm climates, and it's definitely not warm there.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, I think the honest answer would be no, it just happened to be passing my way when I was looking for kind of anything that would bring me back to life. And as I do enjoy traveling, and I find myself in a point where psychologically and emotionally I was really rock bottom. And at the same time, whatever you want to consider life, the higher consciousness or whatever, lending me with a bit of money that I could use. And instead of doing something normal, I thought to to take the opportunity and to do something strange. Antarctica.
Now, when you went on this journey, I understand you went with a group of people. Is that correct?
Yes, it was.
Now, was this a group of people who were kind of doing the same thing? They were having, it was more for like a consciousness or a spiritual kind of awakening journey, yeah. Or?
Yeah, it wasn't a trip that I just booked on a travel brochure or something like that. No, I just want, at the time I was living, still in London, in UK. I still live in UK, but not in London anymore. And I just finished with my divorce proceeding. I just been to the second hearing, court hearing that eventually signed off the end of it. Mm-hmm. It was a kind of acrimonious process and et cetera, et cetera. So I heard from a friend about this event where there were different speakers, and there was one who happened to be an Australian guy who was actually saying to people, come to Antarctica with me. And so I thought, ooh, let's go check him out. And I had had a chat with him, like I'm having with you, but it was in person, and I had a strange feeling because I had in front of me somebody who was definitely a male, but that happened to do something that I thought I would like to do in life, which is taking people on this type of strange adventures. And I thought, I find it really contagious, and I thought, I have to check this out. And also on top of that, there was the fact that he was, exactly as you said, taking a group of people that had the same purpose, which was facing fears or facing your limiting beliefs. And I just trained in neuro-linguistic programming the year before, and so I find it quite appealing to me, because I thought, oh, well, another opportunity to test myself as if I didn't have had enough already before. But anyway, I'm that type of soul. So I just thought, oh, yes, I had to do this. And yes, for me, it was quite of breaking through, you know, the financial thing, because it was pretty expensive thing to do. And I had been living on a shoestring for a long time, besides having to pay all these legal fees, as one does when you go through divorce and stuff. And so I think maybe it was even just deciding on something so crazy, it was in itself a breakthrough for me. And then the 9 months that were happening before the trip in itself, it was not a hell, because, you know, your mind is a good is like a cauldron of a witch where everything is there, you know, boiling.
Well, and it must have been so empowering to go with a group of people who are looking to overcome, you know, one, either a fear or a limiting belief, or looking to kind of, you know, kind of move together in kind of a way through some of these adversities that they had been struggling with.
Well, yeah, because then you have the synergy of the group. At the same time, not to be all roses and pinky, lovely souls. Mm-hmm. It's also challenging, even more so, because you know, you can have clashes with kind of big personalities and stuff like that.
I'm sure.
Just to be on the real side of things.
Yeah, well, I mean, you get a few type A personalities in there other than the instructor, you know, the person who's organized the trip, and I'm sure it can lead for some interesting dynamics. But, overall, it's got to be interesting to take these kind of journeys with a group of people that are looking to kind of accomplish the same thing.
Yes, it is. I agree with you. And funnily enough, I'm quite I'm very much a self-trigger type of person, meaning I don't rely on other people's motivation. Of course, I'm a human being as well. So I live in a society, so I am influenced like everybody is by comments of others, and I read books, etc. So, but I'm quite self-initiating type of person. So I was really, in a way, I was looking at this trip before going and wondering what it could be, you know, my sore spots, you know, what it could be for me, the challenge, because I was thinking, well, but I'm okay with outdoors. Mm-hmm. I'm a type of sporty woman, you know, etc. So in a way, I was really looking into the cauldron and trying to find what it could be my challenge. And as it happens, life always knows better than you, meaning you, me, everybody. And so I was served the perfect challenge. and of course, I tell all about it in the book, but it's funny. I'm saying it in a very humble, from a very humble heart. It really cracked me open. It really... it made me totally useless. Because the thing that I was looking forward the most, that for me it was something to really look forward to. I love taking pictures. I love photography. The visual, you know, and for me, and nature, by the way. So for me to go to Antarctica, it was such a, in a way, a super, super privilege, because I can't really think of places on Earth they should more pristine than that, right?
Mm-hmm. But it's also such a challenging landscape as well, you know.
I was looking forward to see all the possible different shades of the blue of the ice, and I was thinking of all these things. I was, imagining, and I was fantasizing about all this stuff. And what happened, I lost all my gear right at the beginning, so I was a wreck.
Oh, no. Well, and didn't you spend a night camping on the ice as well?
I spent two nights camping on the ice, but that was later on in the trip. What happened that pulled away everything from me, it was just right at the beginning. And to be honest, it could have been life-threatening, because it was a huge iceberg that actually collapsed into the sea, as icebergs do, right?
Yeah. That wasn't what you guys were camping on, was it?
So. Oh, no, I was actually, in that moment, I was ice climbing.
Oh, wow.
And so I had a wonderful view of it, and feeling like I was really in the flesh, like in one of those Ocean and Geographic type of documentaries. Mm-hmm. Not realizing that, my rucksack was on the beach. And it didn't take long for the tsunami to reach us.
Oh, my goodness. That is... Well, and so, I mean, with that, you know, this kind of the temperature, the landscape, the challenges that come with it really push a person to their limits. So... It really does. It's almost like a rebirth in many ways. You know, when you go out there spiritually and you're ready to kind of pull back and look at different things that have happened and kind of reexamine life. And then on top of that, you are physically challenged and probably emotionally challenged with everything going on. It must have been quite a journey.
It was, even if in itself the period that we sailed through the Antarctic Peninsula, it wasn't that long. But mm-hmm. I have to say, I tend to minimize stuff is part of my behavior. I'm very conscious of it. So I can manage to make everything small. So even that it was small, right?
I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at, okay, so they got polar bears. There's all sorts of different, you know, there are predators out there. So it's not like you're just hanging out.
Matt, what I want to really share from the bottom of my heart is this, that for me, that was challenging for sure, because it hit my ego or my creativity or whatever, doesn't matter. But for me was life transforming, one of the many things, but maybe the strongest was the contact with nature. Mm-hmm. And I had the privilege. It happened fortuitously by chance, but I had the chance to look into a minke whale's eye at a distance of a few centimeters, because I was sitting in a dinghy and this whale just decided to surface and have a look at me. And to me, in that moment, it was like kind of I lost consciousness of what was time and space. I don't know. You feel like one with everything else, and it's like a kind of a mystic moment. And the same happened to me also when I went night camping on the ice, and you know, I couldn't really sleep so much, because it was blooming cold. And even if we had all possible gear, I couldn't sleep. And realizing, I was imagining that a place like that is absolutely silent. It's absolutely, it's so deafening because there's so much noise. Nature can be very, very noisy. And definitely the ice is noisy because it moves. So you have cracks and loud clashes, you know, thump all the time. And when you are on a little islet that is as big as, I don't know, like a building block, not bigger than that, and you are surrounded by frozen sea and you have ice everywhere, and you hear all these noises and it's pitch dark and you can't sleep, something happens to your consciousness. And you just say, well, whatever it is, I'm part of this. I hope I can be still living tomorrow morning.
I think anyone who is new to that environment would probably think the same thing without being like an expert in traveling in that kind of an area and that kind of environment, you know, because it does. I mean, you've got the ice cracking and making noise and critters coming up surfacing, and you know, if there are whales nearby, they're not quiet, you know. So you're getting a lot of this happening. What were some of the just surprising things that you learned, you know, on this trip?
I actually, in the book, really, not to refer back to that continuously, but it really, what I've done, I narrated what happened during that span of time, but also I kind of squeezed my soul to kind of list, you know, what came up to my consciousness, mainly to have a list for myself, and then, you know, and then if it can be of help for others, I would be super happy. Many things, but I was saying nature for me was the biggest element, and I think because nature, it kind of rips you off of all the layers, meaning that you feel more your mortality, and you feel quite naked, I would say, you know, in many ways, even if you might have four or five layers on you, but you really, even just feeling the wind below those four or five layers, and you feel it in your navel, you know, it's kind of an experience, and really makes you feel so minute, and so everything gets into a different perspective, because we tend to, in our normal life, we tend to, everything is magnified, and it could be a minute thing that actually means nothing ultimately in our life, but because we are in a normal context, you know, we look at it like something really major. Whereas when you remove yourself from your normal environment, it really helps you to see things differently. It's a bit like flying. I like flying, and flying not with airlines. I mean, flying in a glider, a small plane, you know. Mm-hmm. So you feel more the contact, again, with nature and the elements. And again, I think it's a similar thing because it gives you the opportunity to see things from above, and everything becomes very minute. And it's like when I was, you know, camping overnight, and I was immersed in this pitch black light, mm-hmm. and everything seems huge in my mind, but actually I realized it was nothing. It's so you realize, okay, who am I? And I didn't have an answer for that.
Well, and it just sounds like a trip like this and the experience you went through and how you're discussing about it really puts things in perspective. You get that kind of bird's eye view where, you know, some of the things that might have been bothering you before or were huge problems, you kind of are able to separate and move back a little bit, look at the bigger picture, and it's like, okay, well, yeah, that might not be the greatest situation, but it's not the end. You know, there's so much more, especially when you're in environments like that, it's so much more that there is, not just for you, but I'm sure for with the people that you work with.
Yeah, and also... You know, it's something I would encourage anybody to do. If by any chance you are in a point of your life where really it seems that nothing has meaning anymore, because it can happen. It happens to all of us sooner or later. It's just, I think, the purpose of life, you know, to serve us moment like that when you kind of, you review and... In fact, we are part of nature, so I can't really think of something that can teach you more than that. Well, nature as such, I mean, fauna and flora, etc., that doesn't use word. Mm-hmm. So maybe you have to kind of listen in a different way, not just with your mind, more with your heart, maybe. That's why, funnily enough, at the end of the story, I thought, okay, I thought to list, like an appendix, all the lessons. And I was thinking, okay, but there will be a situation in my future where nothing of this is applicable. Why? Because life knows best, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and I thought, I need a jolly. You know, like in a game of cards, you know, you have the jolly, which is, or the joker, I don't know, mm-hmm. which I'm using the States, but is it kind of a card you can use for, you're missing one that you need, you know? And so I asked myself, okay, now, and what if that time comes and none of this lesson I listed is applicable? What shall I do? And so, a few years later, because I wrote this in 2011 and I went on the trip in 2008. Mm-hmm. So I thought, what is this lesson? I need this lesson. And so... after long pondering, I find it, and it's the following, and it's the last line of my book, which is, life is a journey of the heart, the mind is only a helper, and the soul is the adventurer. And that goes with what I was saying, you know, that sometimes in those moments of silence when you don't know anything anymore, they are very much birthing into you something that maybe needs to come out, you know. It could be your next stage or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's very important to listen with the heart, meaning not necessarily the heart, the physical heart, but meaning the soul, or not the mind, because the mind chatters all the time and not necessarily with important stuff, you know, so...
Well, and it's interesting when you take a trip like this and you look back and look at the lessons, sometimes they're so much different than what we think we're going to, you know, receive during that trip, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm sure it wasn't a chance that I wrote it so much later. What the story goes that I wanted actually to produce a documentary, and I, for obvious reason, technical reason, mm-hmm. I couldn't. I had very little of what I wanted to obviously get while I was there. And so I persisted with my purpose, but nothing was happening, nothing was helping me out with it. And so 3 years later, which is, you know, a pretty long time, I just realized, hang on a minute, Gabriella Guglielminotti Trivel, why don't you start writing something? At least it's something that you can give to somebody who might be interested in maybe producing the documentary. But at least it's something that has got a start and a finish, right? Rather than just your thoughts. And so in 2 weeks, I wrote the book.
Well, and I know that you have this also wrapped into a lot of the work that you do as well. So, and we'll get to that in a little bit. I just kind of want to still touch on the book and your journey here. So you're having to leave, you know, Antarctica. How did you feel about all of that at the time?
When I came back.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you two things that I think were pivotal moments for me back then. One was the trip. We were on a ship, and it was just chartered for our group, and it was sailing down the Antarctic Peninsula, which is, compared to the whole continent, quite a small little appendix on the top of the... I think you can fit... the whole Antarctica, Europe, and I can't remember which other continent. I mean, it's enormous, okay? Yeah. So, and I remember thinking, but we'll just see a little bit, blah, 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 which is the mind again talking, you know. And I remember that at the end of that 10 days, those 10 days, you know, when eventually we turned back and went back to Ushuaia, which was the place in southern Argentina where we took off. I remember, because it had been so intense for me, I remember feeling a sense of relief, like if I had been to hell and I was coming back now, you know, from the world. The mind was saying, but no, Gabriella, but what are you thinking? Are you mad? But you should be sad, and you know. No, there was in me something that it really felt like going to hell. And so going back, it was such a relief. So that was one, it was quite shocking, but very revealing in the moment. And then I remember, well, after that trip, I went on my own, traveling South America and before going back to UK. But again, I had another moment when... I was already back in London after this outrageously strange, life-changing, expensive trip, you know. And I remember thinking one day, I woke up and in the morning and I was in the shower. And all of a sudden, because I had a bit of a kind of shock, cultural shock when I went back, how couldn't be, you know? I mean, from the prairies of Patagonia, you find yourself back in a very populated place like London. And on top of that, I was trying to go back to my normal life and I couldn't really fit back in. And I remember that I had this insight, a bit like the moment when I realized, oh, it wasn't that bad actually to go back, right? I realized, oh, okay, you challenge enough, girl, yourself, you know, through life. Now, what is your next challenge this time? Because, I mean, to go further than what you've done this time is a kind of a bit challenging in itself. What can you put on your list? To go to Mars? You know, that could be a bit. But it was really an eye-opener, and I tell you why. Because I could see my pattern of behavior of, you know, always wanting something more challenging, more difficult. But I realized maybe I didn't want to do that all my life. So it was quite a sobering moment. And it was kind of, it was a turning point as well.
Now, Gabriella, if people would like to connect with you, learn more about your book, Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning, where could they go?
Simply on my website, which is flyinginspiration.com. Flying, the act of flying, F-L-Y-N-G, inspiration, written in one word, .com. Because I've been calling myself since 2005. Don't know why, because it just came to me. I've been calling myself a flying inspiration. So,
Well, I think that's perfect, especially with your travels, and also, and I know you do some coaching and stuff like that as well. You know, Gabriella, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show with us today.
Thank you so much, Marianne, for having me and giving me the opportunity to possibly touch somebody else's life.
Oh, thank you so much, Gabriella. It has been such a joy to spend this time with you. You are a light and inspiration to so many. We are at the end of our time today. I'd like to thank everyone for taking the time to tune in. And remember, make every moment count.
In a single moment, your life can change. Moments with Marianne is a transformative hour that covers an endless array of topics with the best of the best. Her guests are leaders in their fields, ranging from inspirational authors, top industry leaders, and business and spiritual entrepreneurs. Each guest is gifted and a true visionary, a recognized leader in her own work, and while teaching others to develop, refocus, and grow, Marianne will bring the best guest